Welcome to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. We are here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Please check out our Facebook and Instagram at Every Nation NYC and enjoy the message.
Hello and happy Valentine's Day. It's so great to be together today, and I'm honored to be bringing you what's really going to be our final message in the series called Awesome God. I have so enjoyed this sermon series, and I hope you have too. Of course, you can go back and listen to any of the messages that you missed. We've been talking about six different names for God, and each name is associated with an experience with one of the characters in the Bible, and through that experience, we see revelations of who God is. This week, we're introducing the name Yeshua. Yeshua, salvation. Salvation has come. What a powerful, powerful word. God is the God of salvation. And as I've been studying this word and this scripture in our text, which I'm going to read in just a minute, I've been so deeply refreshed and moved once again about just the awesomeness of our God. We never get tired reminding ourselves of how great He is, how powerful, how mighty. And now through this word Yeshua, in the encounter, for the first time in the scriptures, we are introduced to Mary, the mother of Jesus. She comes on the scene through this announcement about Yeshua. Yeshua has come. Salvation has come. And that's the text we're going to start with today. And then I'm going to share some thoughts that the Lord's really been unpacking for me in a new way that I hope will be deeply encouraging in your life as well. So let's start with our text, with the passage for today, which is Luke 1:26-35. I'm going to just read that passage, which will set the stage for our message today. Luke 1:26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her, the angel, and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Yeshua," Jesus. "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her and said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." This passage has coincidentally been one of my life passages, if you will. Don't you love that about the Word of God? As we read it now, for me, nearly 60 years of reading the Word of God. Of course, I didn't read when I was an infant, but most of my life I've known and loved Jesus. I can't actually remember a day when I didn't. That may or may not be your story, but I'm so deeply grateful, not only for Yeshua, that I've known Yeshua from the beginning, but for the Word of God. And this passage became so real and so personal to me through the years. I'm going to share a few of those insights that have really made such a difference for me. But here in this passage, Yeshua comes. This word for Yeshua, salvation, it means deliverance, rescue. Salvation has come to us. We are delivered. We are rescued. And God's promise in this story has been long awaited, long awaited. From the very beginning in the Garden of Eden, we see this promise, the seed of this promise begin, that a Messiah will come, a rescuer, a savior, the one with salvation will come. And now thousands of years have gone by. Over 700 prophecies through the prophets over the years have spoke of this very thing happening. Yeshua will come, a Messiah will come. Hallelujah. 700 prophecies, all given at different times through the prophets, the proven prophets, pointing to this moment in time where Yeshua comes. I think that many of us, if you're like me and like our family, have been waiting during this time. We understand that angst of waiting. We keep hoping. Often during seasons of waiting, we hope that we can keep hoping in seasons of waiting. And the entire nation of Israel has been waiting for this moment. And now it comes. What have you been waiting for? A breakthrough, perhaps? We've been doing a lot of waiting during this COVID season. It's hard to believe. Almost a year we've been living with COVID-19. And it's caused a lot of waiting, a lot of wondering, a lot of hoping for salvation, for deliverance, for rescue out of what we've been enduring. With Yeshua, salvation does come, but also other things came when he came. And I want to really spend time this morning, or whenever you're watching this evening, to talk about three specific gifts that accompanied the coming of this salvation, the coming of our Yeshua. The first is this, and we see this in the passage. Salvation comes with grace and favor. It comes truly as a gift that we could not earn, that we could not work for, one that doesn't come because of our goodness and our faithfulness, but because of the very faithfulness and goodness of our great God and King. Yeshua comes. Verse 28, we hear this in the voice of the angel when he says to Mary, "O favored one, the Lord is with you. O favored one." And when we read this, we realize this is really more about God giving his favor to Mary than necessarily about her earning the favor. It says, "You have found favor with God," in verse 30. Verse 29 says, "But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting could this be." I think I would have felt the same way. An angel's appearing to you, you're young, you're a virgin, you're betrothed to this man, Joseph, and now the angel comes and says, "You're greatly favored, Mary." And she's troubled. It says she's greatly troubled at the saying, trying to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." I hear the Lord saying that to you and I today. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, for you have found favor with God. What a gift. Truly a gift. Oh, I'm getting touched right now because I feel God's heart to give you that gift. To give you that gift. It's like the gift we wanted, but never knew we did. That gift that comes, that was unplanned, unexpected, longed for, but now here. Grace and favor are truly more about him than about you. The very word grace means unmerited favor. Isn't that beautiful? Up until this point, the law through Moses demanded so many requirements, so much performance in a sense, so much ritual and doing the right things and fear oftentimes and the glory being something that people were afraid of because of what it meant and how dangerous it was even at times. But now on the scene, Yeshua comes and there's a whole new meaning to this word salvation, and grace comes. John 1, 16 and 17 describes it like this, talking about Jesus coming, Yeshua coming. And it says, "And of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses," in verse 17, "but grace and truth came through Yeshua, the Messiah." The law came through Moses. And we know that Jesus didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. And with that fulfillment comes grace and favor. The grace and favor comes to Mary by God's intention. And in Ephesians 2, 8 to 10, we read a little bit more about this grace. It says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Jesus Christ to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Don't you love that? God has been preparing works for you to do in advance. It's a gift from him. This whole grace package, not because you earned it or deserved it, but because he is so full of love and grace and his favor is coming to you. That comforts me. Comforts me in a time where I don't feel like I have what it takes to meet the mark or to get the job or to earn the promotion, to have enough favor to, in many ways, feel like I'm going to beat out the competition. We can fall into those traps so easily, but when we walk in this understanding of grace and favor, we realize that God's grace and favor will do for us what we can never do for ourselves, not only related to our salvation, but related to those good works that he's prepared in advance for us to do. So Yeshua comes with this grace and favor. And resting upon us, we realize it's about him so much more than it is about us. Ron and I were together last January in New Orleans. This was before COVID broke out, and it was our last trip that we took before we couldn't travel anymore. We were down in New Orleans at a meeting, and we were with John Maxwell. Now, if you've read any of John's leadership books, then you know he is truly one of the great ones. We have admired John. It's been a privilege to become acquainted with him and friends that get to work together occasionally around the world on different projects. But we were there this evening and we were having dinner with him, followed by a talk that he was sharing. And in the talk, he said something that I still can't forget. Maybe this will encourage you like it did for me. He was talking about how as he moved out of just being a pastor and maybe more of a consultant into a public speaker, doing seminars all around the world, delivering such rich, good teaching. He said that God spoke to him one day and he said, John, you know how at the end of your talks, oftentimes people will break out in loud applause and they'll keep applauding and keep applauding. Or maybe they'll even stand to their feet and give you a standing ovation. He said, John, just remember this. They're not clapping for you. They're clapping for your gifts. They're applauding your gifts. They have received of your gift. And he said, and you know who gave you those gifts. See, God says to us, the gifts and callings of God are irrevocable. So I feel the same often when I do a talk. Not every time do I get a standing ovation. When I did a TED talk, I was humbled that spontaneously at the end of my TED talk, people stood to their feet and began to cheer and to clap. Well, I knew in that moment what John would put into words for me a couple years later, and that is they were not clapping for me. They were clapping for God. A TED talk where I'm not able to even talk about God per se, but there was a glory on the story, and that's what they were applauding for. See, the grace and favor is such a gift because now I don't have to be so nervous before I get up and go speak somewhere. Even today, as I've been praying for you for the last few weeks and really digging into the scripture and praying, I keep continuing to say, God, less of me and more of you. Lord, it's not about my perfect message, my perfect notes, all that you've given me in Revelation. It's about how you work through me to give the gift of grace and favor to everyone listening right now. That's the beauty of doing those good works that God prepares in advance for us to do. It's so freeing. It's so wonderful. And here now in Yeshua, this gift of grace and favor comes with the salvation. So that's the first gift that comes. The second one I want to highlight is that this gift comes with supernatural power. Don't ever forget that this life we live in Jesus is a supernatural life. Jesus comes on the scene through supernatural power. There is power at work. In fact, the angel says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, Mary, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. This introduction of the Holy Spirit, who we know was with God from the beginning, God three in one, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, creating the universe, creating the world. But now he comes on the scene in a new way, personally for you and I. And he comes first to Mary. She asks the natural question, how can this be? The Spirit of God's going to come upon you and the power of the Almighty will overshadow you. That's my word to you today too. Have you been asking how? How can this happen? The power of the Holy Spirit makes it possible. We can never forget that our life in God is a supernatural life. Miracles, power, all the gifts of the Holy Spirit are ours. What a gift. Not only do we get salvation through Jesus himself, but we get what he comes with, which is the gifts of the Holy Spirit. This passage where Mary's asking how became so revelational to me during a really tough season where I was asking a lot of those how questions. How will I meet my husband? I'm in my 40s, God. I've been talking to a number of friends recently that are still single. It's been tough, especially during COVID when we're all kind of holed up in our apartments and in our homes. How can I possibly meet someone, God, I said in my 40s. I was saying it all in my 20s and my 30s, but now I'm in my 40s and I'm really saying it. How, when I look around and I see no possibilities, seems like all the good ones are gone. How, Lord? And I would hear through this passage, the Lord would say to me, the Holy Spirit's going to come on you, Lynette. The power of the Almighty is going to overshadow the situation, and the thing that I've prepared for you will come to pass. That's what I'm saying to you today, no matter what you're asking how about. I had so many other hows. How am I going to ever get a move to New York City? Felt it in my heart so long that I was called to move to New York. I know one person in New York City who's a campus minister. How will I get there? No one knows about me, my work, my career at this point. I'm in my late 30s. But when I would ask that word how, I would say, the Spirit of the Lord's going to come upon me and the power of the Almighty will overshadow me. See, we speak the living word over our life. And there's power, supernatural power in that word. How will I have twins? Felt for years, many of you know my story, that I was going to have twins. How could it be possible? Now I'm getting into my 50s, going through menopause. How could this happen? I feel inclined to be open to adoption, but then I wonder how can I adopt a child and feel the same? Why won't that feel like a consolation prize of sorts? Even though I love the concept, will it be enough for me? I've been talking to a friend of mine recently who was asking that same question. And I said, all I can tell you is I've done it. I've adopted, and I promise you it'll be more than enough. This friend recently had her own miracle of twins. And the first thing she said when we got together by Zoom is she said, I couldn't love these babies more if they came from my own womb. See, God does the how supernaturally with power beyond what we could imagine. It's supernatural power. Whatever you're asking today, whatever how question almost torments you at times, declare this truth from this passage. The Holy Spirit's going to come upon me. The power of the Almighty is going to overshadow me. And then the thing that is done from God will come to pass, because nothing's impossible with God. In fact, we didn't read it in our text today, but the part that comes right after our text is when the angel says, when she says, how will this be since I'm a virgin? He says, the Spirit's going to come on you. The power of the Almighty is going to overshadow you. He says, even Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, even Elizabeth, your relative, in her old age is now pregnant, because nothing is impossible with God. Doesn't matter how old you are. Doesn't matter the mistakes you've made, the compromises you've done, the regrets you've got. Doesn't matter, because the power of the Almighty can come on you. And this thing that God has told you before can still come to pass, because nothing is impossible with God. It's a supernatural gift of salvation. And then lastly, Yeshua, our salvation, the third gift that this salvation brings is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. In our text, it says, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you're to call him Jesus, Yeshua. He will be great, will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. With Jesus, with Yeshua, comes the kingdom of God. Now, the Jews and the children of Israel had been waiting for this kingdom for a long time. Some wanted the kingdom to show up a certain way. Many thought it would come as a literal kingdom, overtaking the Roman rule or whatever oppression had been there over thousands of years. And yet, as so often happens, the kingdom comes in a surprise way. A surprise way. Here it comes in insignificant towns. Bethlehem, Nazareth. Nazareth, such an insignificant town, in a manger to a young virgin girl, not a famous family, not a ruling family. But here comes salvation, Yeshua. Yeshua comes to us not because we're wealthy or not because we've got the perfect education. The favor of God, the grace of God, the kingdom of God, this power comes to us because we're part of the kingdom. And the kingdom comes. Luke 17:20-21. Says it this way. Once, on being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus says this: the coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed, nor will people say, here it is, or there it is, because the kingdom of God is in your midst. And another translation says, is within you. This kingdom shows up within you. That shakes everyone up. It's so powerful. It's so amazing. Jesus at the end says, it's better that I go away so that I can send the Holy Spirit. And greater things will you do because I go to my Father. In other words, this kingdom's going to come to you. It's going to be within you. And greater things, because the very Spirit of this kingdom, my Spirit, the Holy Spirit in that power, is going to come and dwell within you. And the kingdom of God is going to begin to permeate the world through you and I. What a mystery. What a gift. Daunting, though, at times. I love so many of the different descriptions that Jesus has for the kingdom. And I should just say this too, you know, seeing our lives in the context of the kingdom is actually, I find it extremely comforting. It's a security for our souls. It's the anchor. Why? Because when things aren't going the way we think, at work, in our lives, in our nation, goodness, haven't we been through it in this last year, far beyond COVID. When I see injustice, yes, I want to be active and I want to do my part. When I feel like I'm betrayed or hurt or wounded, I want to fight for what I need to fight for. And God, the Holy Spirit, shows us. But at the end of the day, the comfort that I get is knowing that my identity is not as an American. It's not as a woman. It's not as whatever roles or whatever titles I might be given. My identity is deeply rooted in the kingdom of God. I belong to the kingdom. You belong to the kingdom. A kingdom that is here and now and becoming more, but yet a kingdom that is yet to come. Isn't that comforting? Isn't that our hope? Isn't that what gives us courage while we wait for the fullness of that kingdom to come? Jesus over and over talks about the kingdom. He says the kingdom is like a treasure in a field. It's like a mustard seed. It's like a net catching all kinds of fish. And perhaps my favorite, the kingdom of God is like yeast. Yeast. Got a little packet of yeast here. Yeast became a very rare commodity during the early days of COVID. So many people staying home and baking all the time. I fortunately had a little jar of yeast instead of just a packet, so I was able to do a lot of baking. I love to bake, and I love to bake with yeast especially. Lots of cinnamon rolls in our family. Just a tiny packet of yeast this size can produce pans of cinnamon rolls. And I love that because I see in that how the kingdom grows. Do you ever feel like you carrying the kingdom in your workplace might be insignificant and have no impact? I've felt that most of my career. I remember a specific instance where I was working for a partner at the firm where I was, and he and I would meet frequently, and he just had this habit of demeaning people, talking bad about people. He would kind of do it in a joking way, but it always made me feel so uncomfortable. There were even times people would walk behind me through the glass windows, and he'd see him walk behind. He'd stop our meeting and begin to just rail on the person. She's this or he's that. And I just felt so awkward. I didn't know what to say. So I would just be nice and not join in and just listen and sometimes say, well, maybe she's having a hard time, or you know, try to give a little bit of a defense, thinking nothing more than that. About 6 or 7 years went by, and a friend of mine from church actually went to work for him, and I wasn't working at the firm anymore. And they met, and she created the connection. She said, I think you know Lynette. She's a good friend of mine. And he said, oh yeah, that Lynette Lewis. There's one thing about her. She will never say anything negative about anyone. I was like, oh, thank goodness. Thank goodness. And my friend told me that, and I thought, that's like the yeast. It appears so hidden, so small. You don't even feel like you're making a difference. I'm here to tell you, you are. Those moments where you take time to listen to your coworker, where you speak a life-giving word in the face of a lot of angst, where you ask questions and you engage with people at work, where you just simply are available, where you go to your connect group, you show up to the prayer calls. You just bring the kingdom of God with you wherever you can go. And it makes such a difference with neighbors and friends and family in some of the most smallest insignificant ways, like this little tiny packet of yeast. It permeates. And I love that comparison that we are doing that. We are part of that kingdom. So the kingdom perspective helps us endure all things. It helps us train our life, focus our life on the right things. It's what we talk to our girls about when I drive them to school, when Ron drives them to school, when I pick them up from school. They tell me about their day, and we contextualize it all through the kingdom lens. Well, this is how we believe. This is why we don't use words like that. This is why we think differently. We'll stop a movie on TV at times, even though we try so hard not to watch anything that's going to hurt their precious, tender souls right now in this developmental stage. But when we do, we stop and we say, now, girls, you realize that we're part of the kingdom of God, and we don't think that way or we don't talk that way. See, we train our whole lives to be kingdom people. And because we derive our identity from the kingdom of God, from Yeshua, from this God of grace and favor, full of gifts that we don't deserve, but we become carriers as we're part of the kingdom. All of this creates our identity of who we are and what we're called to be. I want to close with this by just simply encouraging you to stay the course. Receive the grace and favor of God wherever you're at right now. Whether you're living in disappointment, discouragement, maybe you're in that big chasm of the unknown. How's God going to help me pivot my entire career, perhaps? Your career is going to be different. How's God going to come through with the financial losses you've experienced? I know I've been there. All my speaking and so much of my work got cut off right when COVID hit. But I continue to declare that passage, Holy Spirit, you're going to come upon me. The power of the Almighty is going to overshadow. You're going to do something mighty, something new, because nothing's impossible with God. I'm telling you, wherever you're at today, stick with it. Stay with the kingdom of God. Don't compromise. Don't settle. Do it God's way. When you do it God's way, we'll say like Mary, let it be done to me as thou hast spoken. At the end of all that, of all of our text, Mary simply says, I am the Lord's servant. Let it be done to me as thou hast spoken. That's what I want for you and I in this season and always, just to simply say, God, I'm your servant. No matter what it looks like, no matter how I feel, even if it's tough to do the right thing, I'm going to stay the course with your kingdom through the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. Let me pray for you as we close. Father God, I'm just going to look in this camera right now in the faces of those that are watching, and I'm going to declare that your Holy Spirit, Lord God, is going to come upon them. The power of the Almighty right now. Maybe you just need to reach your hand out right now and receive it from God. The power of the Almighty is coming upon you for the miracles you're waiting for. God, we come into agreement, two of us agreeing right now, that every promise of your word, of your kingdom, of who you are as our salvation, is going to come to pass, because nothing is impossible with you, God. We believe it. We cling to you. We hide ourselves in you. We say like Mary, let it be done to us as you have spoken, Lord God. And I come into agreement with my friends right now that your power and your might and your kingdom will advance. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. We love you. We're praying for you. We have our wonderful prayer calls. I encourage you to join. You may not feel like you got a lot of prayers left, but you can get on the phone at 6 a.m. in the morning and you hear people pray. And I'll tell you, your faith will rise. Get into one of our discipleship classes, our connect groups. We've got so many great things coming. We, as a church family and our piece of the kingdom, this is not a time for us to shrink back. We're going forward. We're coming into that resurrection season, and we're going to see a rising in all of our lives. I love you. We're here for you. Go and have a wonderful, blessed week.
You've been listening to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. If you enjoyed our message, please rate and review us on iTunes. It helps others hear the message of Jesus, and we really appreciate it. If you have yet to spend time with us in person, we would love to welcome you to one of our services. Visit everynationnyc.org to find all the info you need to attend a service. We will see you there.